Glad to have you back for our Word for Life radio ministry. Last time we were together, Matt Rapp was sharing his testimony about growing up in a Christian home, going to church, going to children's activities when he became a teenager, went to youth activities, and was very involved. Matt, everybody felt like you were good to go. You were a good student. You were a good athlete. But in your sophomore year, you kind of began to become involved in drugs and dealing drugs and knew that that was risky, but you enjoyed the risk.
That's right. Very much so.
You just kind of felt like, I can beat this. I can make this money. I can do whatever I want to do and still be popular and still be successful.
Yep, that was definitely my attitude, just one of great pride and,
yeah,
and arrogance.
But a couple of months before graduation, your senior year, did a drug bust at high school, and you took off running.
That's right. And as a result, I was expelled from school, basically had a slap on the wrist legally, and went on continuing with the same lifestyle I'd been living, only to run into a much bigger wall legally in a couple months later.
Just a couple of months later.
That's right.
I was asking you the last broadcast if you felt like maybe the Lord had anything to do with your arrest, and if anybody ever began to wonder if you truly were a believer. And your comment was that you feel like maybe everybody's just kind of afraid to bring that up. Why do you think they might be afraid?
I think at the end of the day, especially my family, deeply desired to believe that I knew the Lord. I think part of it was, you know, they had poured their life into me with the gospel and teaching me the truth in the right way. And I had professed Christ at a young age and was very good at outwardly performing and pretending to be something that I really don't believe I was.
Yeah.
And so I think my parents were deceived, probably my mom more than anybody, into thinking that I was truly a believer because, yeah, I probably laid it on pretty thick with her more than anybody else.
Okay. So they weren't necessarily afraid of you because you intimidated them. They were just afraid of getting an answer that they didn't want to believe, that you possibly weren't a believer.
Yeah, I think so. I think that people maybe can be a little bit too shy of bringing up the fact that somebody may not be a believer. And the Lord would later use some very hard verses in Scripture to confront me of that fact and really open my eyes down the road.
So you said you were kicked out of high school, and at that point, your mom and dad kicked you out of the home because you just turned 18. And at that point, then you stopped going to church. Am I correct?
That's right.
Okay. Would I be safe to assume that you no longer were reading your Bible?
No, I definitely was not reading my Bible at that time.
Okay. All right. So as you began to discontinue that same lifestyle, where'd you live? Where'd you know where to go?
I knew a few people that had been renting a home. I had always had kind of a tendency to hang out with people that were much older than me. Even a freshman in high school, I was hanging out with people that were seniors or even people that already graduated. And at that point, I had some friends that rented a home not too far away from my parents' house. And I had the money because of the drug dealing and was able to afford to pay for rent there at that house.
And you're tall and big, and so it's easier to fit in with older people.
Yeah, I've always kind of looked older when I was younger, so that sort of helped.
Right, exactly. Okay, and so in your mind then, okay, I got busted, kicked out of high school, but hey, life's good. Look at the money I'm making. Is that kind of the idea?
I think at that point, my heart was really sunk. I was already struggling with depression and had really been trying to run from my problems by excessively using drugs on a daily basis. I don't think that there was really a single day where I didn't use at least one or two different types of drugs very heavily from the time I woke up until the time I went to bed, if I went to bed at all.
Okay.
So my life was definitely falling apart, and I was trying to drown my depression and all these negative emotions in whatever drug or substance I had at my fingertips.
Sure, okay. Probably just the loss of scholarships, possibility of college and all that kind of thing, just kind of left you at a dead-end street and you began to realize it.
Yeah, I really felt like I had nothing to lose at that point. I didn't realize that I had a full life ahead of me where I could turn my life around and things could be different. I really struggled greatly with depression. Suicide was something that was on the front of my mind quite often. I chased after suicide with intentional drug overdoses,
okay,
as well as some risky type of behavior, such as driving my car very fast with my eyes closed or other very stupid things. And I definitely did not believe I had much control over my life at that point.
Do you have any friends that actually did commit suicide?
Yes. At that time, I had known a couple people who had committed suicide, and
okay,
later in life, I've known a number of other people.
Right, right. So you continue to live the life, even though it's a life of depression, but you said a couple of months later, you got caught again. At this point, you didn't realize that you had been under surveillance for the last couple, 3 years then.
I had some ideas that could be taking place because of some cars that I had noticed had followed me, but I really had no idea to what extent this investigation was at. So I really had no idea what was happening, honestly.
Because sin makes you stupid.
Makes you very stupid. Indeed.
And so you get busted again then?
Yes, I got arrested with a good amount of marijuana and cocaine, and as a result was incarcerated, released on bail, and would go on to attempt to fight a case that was, it was not a winnable case. I was caught red-handed.
Sure.
And in November of 2004, I was then convicted and finally sentenced.
Okay. So describe what your depression was like when you were finally sentenced.
I think at that point, I felt even more so like my life was over, even though the sentence was relatively light. I think that there was some sort of glimmer of hope as I deep down wanted or thought I wanted to change, but would never really truly change. I'm not sure if it was me deceiving myself again or if I just wasn't, you know, ready for it or how to explain it, but.
And you're still not reading your Bible or connecting with believers?
Once I was incarcerated, I started to read my Bible every day.
Okay.
Right. And attend the services that they had there when they had them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it would appear as though I was a wandering child of God coming back to Him. But I don't truly believe that that was the case. Again, I think I was still deceiving myself.
Is basically a ploy to try to get through the difficulty and the depression of this particular situation, kind of like a life raft that you'd hang on to until you're on dry ground again.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think like the scriptures say, the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow.
Sure. Yeah.
I had worldly sorrow that I was sad over the circumstances that I was in, but I wasn't truly repentant of the sins that I committed against the holy God.
So you get into prison and no drugs at all. How was that?
There were definitely substances available. I stayed away from them for some time, but later would dabble in them.
Okay.
So it was hard on my body to cleanse from a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure it really affected the depression side, but there was also a clarity of mind that started to come back once that stuff was leaving my system.
So where does God fit into your whole picture?
Well, after much time of in and out of incarceration, more struggles with drugs, mainly drug use, not drug dealing after getting caught, I would eventually be confronted with my sin and my self-deception.
Confronted how?
It was early April 2008. I was getting ready to take a drug test while in a program down in Rockford, Illinois. And if I failed that drug test, I was going to be going back to prison for quite some time.
Okay.
I was sitting there getting ready to take the drug test, had gotten in a fight with some guys months earlier and was receiving medical bills in the mail on a weekly basis. Had been ripping up those medical bills, throwing them right out because I couldn't pay them. But that day, for some reason, I decided to look at the bills. And I got the bills as I was waiting to take that drug test, opened up the bill, and there was something very different about it. There were five pieces of paper in there that had different totals of the $37,000 I owed in medical bills.
Okay.
And as I read those pieces of paper, each one said $13,000 you now owe $0, $7,000 you now owe $0, and so on and so forth.
Wow.
Every single penny of my debt was paid, And as I was sitting there, confused as to how that was possible, I didn't have insurance. I was in a charity case. Nobody paid my bill.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord laid it upon my heart that He was the one that paid every single penny of my debt.
Okay.
And He laid a verse on my heart in Micah where He says that He'll take all of our iniquities and cast them into the depths of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And He said that those medical bills were just a small drop in a whole sea of iniquity that I'd sinned against Him. And something started to stir within my heart. So I didn't know exactly what was going on. I didn't repent right then and there, but the Lord was working. And I went to take the drug test, and I confessed everything to the dean of the men's home there. And he was baffled and sort of happy because he was looking for a way to get me out of that home as I was causing a lot of trouble there.
Okay.
Gave me the drug test. I took the drug test, and to my amazement and his amazement, I passed with flying colors.
Even after you confessed that you had been doing?
Yep. Yeah. And I had used drugs just earlier that day. I have no idea how I passed, but I begged him to give me another drug test, which I've never done before in my life. He gave me another drug test, and I passed it again. And he was so upset with me that he told me to go to my room and don't come out. And it was the best thing he could have done for me that night. I went to my room, and I had a sermon transcript by a gentleman by the name of Paul Washer called Examine Yourself to See If You Be in the Faith.
And okay, okay.
I was confronted with the verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, on that day shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And I was confronted with the fact that if I was truly a believer, that there'd be evidence of that belief in obedience in my life, and I had none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that night I cried out to the Lord and begged him to forgive me of my sin and have mercy on me.
Mm.
And I know that that night he opened my eyes. I'm not a very artistic person. I'm not terribly visual.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as more of a solid thinker and logical, but he really gave me a picture of my heart, and on my heart was a throne. And on that throne, I had thought that Christ had sat and ruled and reigned my life. But the picture that I saw sitting on that throne was this hideous-looking creature, kind of this demonic-looking, ugly thing. I don't know if it was me or if it was Satan himself or what.
Right, right.
But it wasn't Jesus that was sitting on the throne of my heart. And just in realizing that, cried out to the Lord and knew that He had saved me that night.
That is awesome. It's really exciting to see how God uses different circumstances. The first time you look at these medical bills, they're paid. Obviously, if they had been paid before, they wouldn't have continued to send you medical bills. But these, God had you read to discover they're already covered, they're already paid. Just like Christ's death on the cross has already been there and wants to apply to our account. My friends, you've been listening to a testimony that is a true life testimony of what Jesus does to our sins. We will continue this broadcast in a couple of days. And I want you to be able to hear how when a man becomes a new believer in Christ, how the Lord begins to change moment by moment, bit by bit, each one of our lives. Till the next time, we pray that God will bless you in a fantastic way.